Good morning to all. It is truly good to see everyone out this morning and to have this opportunity to share with you all from the Word of God. And this morning, the bulk of our lesson will come out of James chapter 3. And we see over in James chapter 3 that James is actually discussing this topic of controlled speech and how important it is. But when you begin to look at it, notice that it does go a little bit beyond even controlled speech. It talks about our behavior as Christians. Consider as a Christian that certainly many people watch us and they want to see if we're truly living the life that we profess to have so much faith in. Over in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, where we see Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus says the following. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Again, it is good for nothing but to be trampled upon underfoot by man. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." When you begin to think about salt, especially throughout this New Testament period, salt itself was very impure. And oftentimes, this salt, it was used as preservative as well as for flavoring. But again, it was very impure, and so it could lose that preservative nature. It could lose that seasoning nature very quickly. If it lost its purpose, and again, its purpose was to preserve and again to season, if it lost its purpose, it was good for absolutely nothing. And the person would simply take that salt and they would just toss it outdoor where people would walk on it. Consider we as Christians. If we lose our purpose, if we lose that substance that makes us Christians, if we don't behave like Christians, if we lose the substance that makes us Christians, how effective will our testimony be to those who are non-believers? Those who are perhaps seeking this right way, how effective will our testimony be if every time someone sees us, we're using words that we shouldn't use, if our behavior itself, if our conduct is contrary to what we read about in the Bible and the Word of God? Then again, consider how effective will our testimony be to those individuals. Consider what Jesus says over in verse 16, that we're to let our light shine, that through the type of life we live, others will glorify our Father in heaven. And the question I have here is, does our conduct match the type of faith that we as Christians profess to have in Jesus, our Lord and Savior? Over in James chapter 1, we see this letter, which was written by James, and it was addressed to these Jewish Christians scattered abroad, that is, outside of Palestine. And within this letter itself, James wrote about a variety of topics. And he wrote about, you know, numerous topics, perhaps indicating that there was a issue with the conduct of these Christians in that area. Despite the various topics that James writes about, notice the one thing, that throughout this entire short letter that he wrote, notice that the prevailing theme of this letter is focused on our actions and our deeds matching our faith. In chapter 1, James chapter 1, let's turn over to verses 23 through 25. James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. And those verses read, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, He was like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Usually when I find myself going into work in the morning, perhaps one of the first things I do, or right before I leave, one of the things I would do is I'll go to that mirror. I'll take a look in the mirror. Sometimes there may actually still be a little sleep in my eyes. So, you know, I'll go to that mirror and I'll correct whatever needs to be corrected. Now and again, I may have misbuttoned my shirt. I might need to comb my hair, the little hair that I have. You know, there might be certain deficiencies upon myself. And notice that that mirror itself, it will actually show me all of those things that I need to correct. So if I need to put my shirt the right way, okay, it'll reveal it to me. If I need to comb my hair, again, it'll reveal it to me. Notice the one thing about this mirror, while it will reveal these things to me, notice that I must still take action in order for any of this to be effective. If I'm just looking in the mirror and just say, okay, no worries, and just leave, again, it does me no good. Consider the perfect law of liberty. This perfect law of liberty that can only be found in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Consider if we're looking into the Word of God, the Word of God will reveal to us any and every deficiency that we have. But again, just like that mirror, if we do not take action upon those things that we know are deficiencies within our lives, then what good is it? Consider we should never be like this hearer of the word only. An individual who hears the word, they see the deficiencies that they need to correct, but again, they do nothing whatsoever about it. Consider James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. And those verses read as follow. What does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? What can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith, if it does not have works, is dead. James chapter 3, verse 13. James chapter 3, verse 13. This verse reads as follows. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. In writing this letter, again, James did so to address certain issues that these Christians were experiencing throughout this time frame. But notice how these are issues that still plague us today. These are issues that we still see around today. Consider the root of these issues is a lack of spiritual maturity. As we grow in Christ and we hold on, or as we fail to grow in Christ, should I say, and we hold on to things of this world. When we're dealing with people, especially if it's the first time we've dealt with that person, whether it be over the phone or in person, perhaps the first thing that really comes to mind is the type of speech that that individual chooses to use. This is probably the first thing that we take notice of. Consider we as Christians, and as we interact with others, consider that our speech and our conduct is on full display to those individuals. And perhaps the first thing that these individuals notice about us is the type of speech that we choose to use as well. Over in James chapter 3, we see the focus is on this controlled tongue. And just for a second, consider how many times our speech itself has gotten us into trouble. And just think to yourself, how many times has your speech gotten you into trouble? or even your conduct, how many times has that gotten you into trouble? And it is truly amazing when you consider the tongue and how much power this small member of the body possesses. Small as the tongue is, you know, it possesses quite a bit of power. Consider with our tongues, we certainly pray to God, we worship him, and with this exact same tongue, we may find ourselves cursing at men who are made in the similitude of God. Consider with this tongue, on occasion, we may find ourselves helping to convert some lost soul over to Christ, but yet at the same time, with this exact same tongue, we can be guilty of damaging a person's reputation. We can be guilty of influencing people to do the wrong thing. Consider that certainly our words have power. Consider our speech, this great gift that God has provided for us, this great gift that he's provided for us to influence people to do the right thing, to influence people to the way of Christ. In order to convey the importance of how genuine faith should respond, James provides for us several examples, and we're going to take a look at some of these examples to get the point across here. But first off, let's take a look over in James chapter 1, verse 26. James chapter 1, verse 26. And in that verse, James writes, "If anyone among you think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceive his own heart, this one religion is useless." And the Greek word for religion, or the word religious, is a word that's called threskeia. And it's a word that denotes religious worship. But the focus of this word is on the external. So it's basically saying that we demonstrate what's inside of us through our external actions. In verse 27, this is James chapter 1, verse 27, we read this: "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." That is, we're to provide service for those in need and to keep ourselves undefiled or unspotted within this world. And let's consider a couple of examples here. First off, especially in regards to this word threskeia here, in which case the internal is reflected by the things that we do externally. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to take a look at verses 33 through 37. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. And in these verses, we see that certainly Jesus has healed many on the Sabbath day, and that he's been accused by these Pharisees of casting out demons in the name of Beelzebub. Now, Jesus would explain to them how illogical this is, because he says to them that a house divided cannot stand. And we're going to read verses 33 through 37 here. And those verses read as follow. Jesus says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus telling these Pharisees that their words display the evil within their hearts. If the heart, again, has good within it, then good will come out of their lips. Their actions, their external actions, would be things meant to edify and to help others. But again, if evil lies within their hearts, in which case we see it does, then certainly their actions and their words will be meant to hurt others. Consider the warning that Jesus provided here. He says that we're to give an account even of those idle words. Idle words, words that mean absolutely nothing whatsoever. The words that hold no value whatsoever. We're going to give an account for those words. If we're going to give an account for those words, what about those words that we choose to say on purpose? And again, those words that display either a good heart or those words that display an evil heart. And to reinforce this thought here, let's take a look at one additional example over in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to start with verses 10 through 11. In Matthew 15, we see the scribes and Pharisees complaining that Jesus' disciples were eating with unwashed hands. And verses 10 and 11 read as follow. Jesus says when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Later on in that chapter, let's go down to verses 16 through 20. Matthew 15, verses 16 through 20. Jesus explains this saying to his disciples here. And those verses read as follow. So Jesus says, "Are you also without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." The nature of the heart itself, whether we have those good thoughts or intentions, or whether we have evil thoughts or intentions, again, these are the things that reside within our hearts. And again, these are the things that are seen externally, whether it be through our speech or, again, whether it be through the things that we do, our behavior and conduct. Let's turn back over to James chapter 3 now. James chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 1 here. And we see that several examples have been provided for us, again, to display the power of this tongue itself. However, we certainly see that James also provides a warning. And he urges some of these brethren to consider wanting to become teachers, because teachers would certainly be held to a stricter judgment. And verse 1 here, and this is James chapter 3. Verse 1 reads, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." You consider teachers knowing the truth, yet living a life of hypocrisy. Individuals who know the truth of God's word, but yet they're living a life of hypocrisy, because you're preaching one thing and living another thing. And basically what you see is that their external reflection of the word spoken is not there. The things that within their hearts, again, they may know the truth of God's word, but if you're not living that truth, then again, understand that certainly, by all means, we will be held to a higher judgment for sure. Consider the analogy over in chapter 1 that we talked about in regards to this individual, this man looking into a mirror. And he identifies all of these things that need to be corrected within his life, but he turns away from this mirror and he becomes a forgetful hearer. Again, an individual that we should not be like. In verse 2, James says that we all stumble in many things, yet if we don't stumble in word, then we are a perfect man, also able to bridle the entire tongue or the entire body. And the Strong lexicon indicates that the Greek word for perfect is a word that's called teleios. And this word itself denotes maturity. It denotes full grown, an adult. So in other words, It's not talking about the type of perfect that we oftentimes know. Instead, it's saying that this individual is a mature Christian. They have maturity as a Christian. And you think about that concept of being a mature Christian, an individual who is able to control their actions and the things they do. They're able to control their tongues, not by themselves, but because their heart itself lies with Christ, because their heart is in Christ. And so the things that come out of their mouth are things meant to edify and build up others. And their actions, their external actions, are things that, again, assist others. And to make this application that the tongue has power, we see that James has used several examples. He uses this example of the tongue and compares it to a bit and a rudder. Now, when you consider this bit itself, the bit along with those bridles and reins, we see that an individual is able to control a horse, this large-sized animal, with this small little bit. And if you think about a horse and how this horse has this natural tendency to want to kind of go in its own way, but you think about how we as people are able to control these large-sized animals simply with this bit and those bridle and reins. He uses another example of a rudder. And again, you think about this rudder itself. Without a rudder on a ship, the ship itself is just going to go in any direction, and it's going to go back and forth and just be tossed about primarily based on the flow of the currents. But again, with this rudder, this small little portion on this ship, you know, again, this ship is able to stay a steady path. And again, you consider the tongue itself and how much power that tongue definitely has. Consider we as Christians and we as people, we have a tendency to want to walk in our own way. However, if Christ controls our heart, then he controls the things that comes out of our mouth. He controls those actions that we take. And again, these are things that will be meant to edify and to build up and to assist others. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And that verse reads as follows. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Consider even when we are correcting behavior or conduct contrary to the word of God, we're to do so in a loving manner. And let's turn over to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And those verses read, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, I want to turn back over here to James chapter 3 again. Let's turn back over to James chapter 3. And we see in those next several verses, James implies that our words themselves can start fires. And again, just consider and think to yourself, have you ever been on the receiving or giving in of hurtful words? Have you ever said some bad things to people? Or have you been on the receiving end of those words? If you think about the destructive nature of fire, consider that our words themselves can be equally as destructive. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. James 1, verses 19 through 20. Those verses read as follow. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. throughout my time in the military, we had an opportunity to conduct numerous live fire exercises, and sometimes we'd go to an area where it was pretty dry, very dry area, be a lot of brushes around. Most of the time it was in a desert or something to the effect of, but just enough brushes where some of the tracer rounds that we use would oftentimes create a fire. And when that fire started, it was very difficult to get those fires out. And I can never remember a time when we were actually able to extinguish one. We would always have to call someone else in to put out those fires. But those fires would simply just go across all of that dry brush and just continue to consume everything in its way. You consider the tongue itself and we as people. When we start down a certain road, especially considering the fact that the things that we say and the things that we do reflect the things within our heart, consider once we start down that road how difficult it is to bring that person back to the right side there. Just consider once we actually start down that road of doing all these things, saying the wrong things, doing the wrong things, how difficult it is to bring that individual back. This fire itself, again, very destructive. And you just consider the very nature of our hearts. Once we start down that road, how difficult it is to get us right on that right track. We know that we ourselves cannot do that, that only Christ, that only God can bring us and put us back on that right track. James also goes on to talk about how animals of all kind can be tamed. And this is back over in James chapter 3, verse 7 here. And he talks about how animals of all kinds can be tamed, yet the tongue itself, because of its unruly nature, cannot be tamed. And this word unruly, it implies that it is incapable of restraint. It's incapable of restraint. Oftentimes we may say something and we're not even thinking about it. But again, keep in mind the things that we oftentimes say, the things that we do, it reflects the very nature of our hearts. Consider that, again, we can certainly tame animals, yet we cannot tame our tongue. Consider that only God and God alone can. If the heart of man belongs to God, then our words can be used to proclaim the gospel and to win lost souls over to God, over to Christ. If our hearts, however, are full of evil, then we will continue to destroy not only our lives, but continue to do wrong by others as well. And we're going to take a look at verses 9 through 12, and this is James chapter 3, these last few verses here. In those last few verses, James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, we read the following. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse man, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. We see here that James is speaking about the inconsistent nature of the heart or of the tongue, which certainly indicates inconsistencies within our heart. And James asks a couple of questions here. First off, he says, can a spring bring forth two different types of water? And consider this. Have you seen a spring that will bring forth fresh water and it brings forth salt water? Of course not. Have you seen a tree that's going to bear two different types of fruit? It's going to bear figs and it's going to bear apples. Of course not. If a spring cannot bring forth two different types of water, if a tree cannot bear two different types of fruit, then why does our heart bear two different types of results? And it bears two different types of results consistently. Think about it. One moment, we might be saying the right things and doing the right things. And the next minute, our actions and our words do not display that we're Christians. Consider that our results, again, these results, these things can be seen through our external actions. And again, these words that James just spoke here, you know, they indicate the very nature of our hearts. Whether those be things that, again, are meant to edify or things meant to tear down. Consider that the tongue, as small as it is, has the power to influence others into the way of life or the way of destruction. And let's close by taking a look over in James chapter 4, verse 8. In these verses, we read the following. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. In chapter 1, if you go back and look at verse 8, James says that a double-minded man was unstable in his ways. If you consider the simple fact what James is saying here, and as you look throughout this entire short letter that James provided, consider how James emphasizes the fact that the things that we do, our actions, should demonstrate those things that are within our heart, and they will demonstrate the things within our heart. But again, consider if our heart is controlled by Christ, then again, those things that we do, the things that we say, again, will be things meant to edify, to correct others in a gentle spirit. We will do the right thing by others. But again, if our heart is controlled by this world that we live in, consider that the things that we do will tear down and they will destroy. And consider that these things not only destroy the lives of others, but consider the individual who are doing these things and how their lives have been set down this path of destruction. And again, how it will take Christ and only Christ, our Lord and Savior, to bring this individual back to the right area. Over in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, we read the following. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Certainly, as we find ourselves going into the week, think about the things that we say. Think about the things that we do. Think about the fact that these are things that are controlled right here within our hearts. Consider who our hearts is controlled by, whether it's controlled by our God in heaven or whether it's controlled by this world. Certainly, thank you for your kind attention this morning. An invitation is offered for any who may currently find themselves standing outside the body of Christ. If you're present this morning and you've heard the word, you believe, you're ready to repent, that is to do this 180 and stop living this life for the world and start living for Christ. If you're ready to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you're ready to be baptized into the body of Christ, over in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus tells us to be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you are ready this morning, we stand ready to assist. Perhaps you find yourself as a Christian who has fallen away from the faith, and you require the prayer of the saints. Whatever your need may be, whatever we can assist you with this morning, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.